What kind of housing is developing in Utah right now? Is it the type of housing that Utahns want to see in their neighborhoods? And how does it all relate to the so-called missing middle of the housing market? Utah Foundation Vice President and Director of Research Sean Tigan and I will discuss the answers to those questions in this edition of Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Peter Reichard. Sean, we've now released the third installment in our Missing Middle Housing Project. This study is looking at the housing that occupies the middle ground between single-family homes on large lots and large apartment complexes. Missing middle housing encompasses a variety of housing types that are house scale and ideally facilitate walkability, accommodate changing preferences, and are available to people with a range of incomes. So the first two installments in the series, we looked at the scope of the housing problem, which is not insignificant. And in the second part, we looked at the prevalence of middle housing in the four largest Utah counties, as well as relevant development trends. The latest installment focuses on current development practices and mainly preferences. So one of the things that we found in this report, Sean, is that whether you like it or not, housing development is changing.
Yeah, so that's certainly the case in Salt Lake County. You can see that single-family detached development is becoming less common. In fact, in 2020, only 24% of new units in the county were single-family. You're seeing an increase in middle housing. We're up to about a third in 2020, and that middle housing includes, it's mostly townhomes, but it's also some of these other middle housing types. But really the lion's share is of new development is multifamily units. That's in 2020, that was 44%. The same thing is happening to a certain extent, but maybe not to the same extent in other counties along the Wasatch Front and Washington County. If you see in Weber County, for instance, you see quite a few years in the last 10 or so where apartments, multifamily units are over half of new development. And you're seeing more and more of that middle housing and apartments being developed in Utah County. It's happening in Washington County and Davis County, but to a much smaller extent. In fact, in Washington County, a vast majority of what's being developed is still single family detached housing.
But of course, that's the way it used to be. In Salt Lake County, it used to be, not too long ago, in fact, that the vast majority of what was developed was single family housing. But now really the predominant player or the predominant component is multifamily, by which we don't mean doubles. We mean large multifamily apartment complexes.
Yeah, 15 years ago in Salt Lake County, we were developing, 75% of the homes, 70 to 75%, kind of depending on the year, were still single family units. So we've really shifted in Salt Lake County, and we're seeing definitely that trend happening in Utah County, but it's started happening a little bit more recently within the last 5 or 6 years. And then in Weber County, Weber County just comes and goes. Sometimes you see, over half are single family, and then other years you see over half as larger apartments. So it kind of just depends. But middle housing is kind of creeping up as well. And in terms of that middle housing, like I mentioned, those are mostly townhomes.
Is this what Utahns want? Is this shift from single family to large apartment complexes, for instance, in Salt Lake County? Is this what Utahns want? We took a survey and we asked them what their preferences for development were.
Yeah, Utahns want to live in single family homes, and they prefer that the development in their neighborhoods is also single family. They prefer the single family detached housing. And that's clear across the board when you're looking at our survey respondents. They did offer positive responses, though, to some of the smaller middle housing types that appeared to be single family. So in the survey, we showed people a bunch of pictures and we said, hey, what do you like about these pictures? One thing that people didn't seem to like is when you you see a bunch of townhomes that are that have a big huge garage in the front, and they're side by side. They weren't as excited about that, but they were excited about single family detached housing, particularly when maybe the garage was hidden a little bit. And they were excited about middle housing when they either couldn't tell that it was middle housing, that maybe it looked like a single family home, or when it was small and kind of had some charm to it, but you could definitely tell that it was still a duplex.
So essentially, and this isn't really shocking, there's an openness to having small scale multifamily or smaller scale housing types in general in a typical single family neighborhood, as long as it blends in. Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, about half of survey respondents said overall they prefer in their neighborhoods to have housing that is of similar type and along with that similar prices. But not far behind, we found people that preferred housing with a variety of prices and a variety of types. So over a third of us prefer to have some variety of prices, and about 2 in 5 of us prefer a variety of types that include some of this middle housing. Not so much big apartments. We want those big apartments maybe in other counties or downtown or along a front runner or tracks. But for most people in their neighborhoods, there was a little bit of a balance there in terms of whether they preferred homogeneity or seeing something that was a little bit varied. The interesting thing, though, I think that comes into play is that when we asked more about affordable housing and even affordable housing in their neighborhoods, most survey respondents support having more affordable housing options. So even though maybe they kind of prefer similar prices and similar types, when we really got in to look at the affordable housing question, most people did prefer that. And only 18% of respondents said, no, we don't want it. There were a lot of folks that said neutral as well, but only 18% said, no, we don't want affordable housing in this neighborhood. Let's keep my neighborhood the way it is.
But there does seem to be a clear preference when you say affordable housing. They would rather see something that is this middle housing or this missing middle, and as the case may be, housing type than the big apartment complex. I mean, we clearly heard from the respondents that they weren't open to having a big apartment complex in their neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. And most people don't like the looks of big apartments, and they don't want them in their neighborhoods. They think maybe they should exist. They should just exist somewhere else, not where they live.
So to sum up, it seems like there's opportunity to bring some more housing types and more variety and more income range into our neighborhoods, which becomes really important given the affordability challenges Utah is facing right now. But the key is to do it in a way where it blends in. In fact, we asked about what were some of the other things that influenced people, and some of those things were design and scale and things like that.
Yeah, so nearly 3/4 said style was important. I mean, when we look at houses, it has to, tug at our sense of style, or else maybe we don't want to live there. And that's the case for most respondents of the survey. But followed by that was scale. And scale is kind of the size of a new structure compared to other homes. 64% said that's very important in their housing preferences when they were kind of choosing the photos that they liked of housing across Utah. So that style is important, and scale, and everybody has kind of a different style. But when you look at scale is kind of an obvious one. The great thing about middle housing, and the thing that people kind of talk about, and the usefulness and good place for middle housing, maybe isn't always going to be just right next door, one after another, single family middle housing, but maybe it's feathering the edges a little bit, so that maybe you've got some single family homes in a community, and maybe along the sides of those, you've got middle housing that are quite house scale, just they look like maybe the homes those single family detached units just right next door. And then maybe you can see some middle housing getting a little bit bigger, and then finally transitioning into maybe mid-rise apartment complexes. And so you can really get some of the doors that we need in order to kind of address this housing crisis, but not have those apartments right next to single family detached units, because that is something that people do not want.
One thing that's clear in all of this, and particularly when you go back to the first report in the series, and we look at how home ownership is moving out of the reach of more and more Utahns. Certainly home ownership becomes an important component if you wanted to put together a robust and successful middle housing strategy. You'd want to have a home ownership opportunity component in your strategy.
You know, the main reason home ownership is important is because for Americans, our wealth is quite often the equity that we have in our home. If you look at the wealth for the median homeowner, we're looking at about $255,000, where the median renter's net worth is about $6,000. So, you know, a lot of us as Americans who have gotten into the home ownership game have a lot of our wealth tied up in those homes. And we can basically be investing in those homes over years. And some folks say, you know, you're throwing all this money into interest and all that. But ultimately, if you're renting, you're really not gaining anything in terms of long-term wealth. There's also something to be said for, you know, we at Utah Foundation are working a lot on social capital. And if you live in a community, and if you live in a home for 5 or 10 or 15 years, you're building maybe some social capital in that community. Whereas if you're renting and maybe moving around to different neighborhoods quite regularly, you're not making those ties in with the community that you could be if you were owning a house.
And you're also in a relatively fixed price or fixed cost situation with ownership. I mean, obviously insurance costs can go up and taxes can go up, things like that. But generally, your costs are fixed. And, you know, with inflation, it becomes easier and easier to be the homeowner with time, theoretically. Whereas as a renter, you're just constantly in this situation of dealing with escalating rents.
If I'm living here in a house and I see the housing costs of the community go up, it doesn't really affect me unless I'm thinking about my family and future generations and thinking, oh, are they going to be able to afford to live here? But if I'm a renter and I'm seeing a very low vacancy rate and I'm seeing a high pressure on home buying costs, I'm also likely to see my rent go up. And that could, you know, if I'm on a month-to-month or even a yearly lease or even 2 years, I might get a little bit of sticker shock the next time my rent is due.
So we've got to get more renters off the sideline, just spectating on the housing market and actually engaging, getting into the game themselves. I mean, one little data point in this report, which I thought was interesting. In 2020, the share of renters priced out of Utah's median priced home jumped to 73%. The year before, it was only 63%. That is, as we talked about before, home ownership is moving out of reach for more and more people.
Yeah, that's a scary statistic. And I guess the thing about middle housing, the key to middle housing is that it's offering some different price points. So you might see housing that is more affordable for more people other than just kind of the single family detached housing that we've been building over the decades across the state. And if we can see more price points, if we can see something that is maybe within reach to more people that are buying their first home, I think that probably is a benefit certainly for them, but it's also probably a benefit for the community at large as well.
The next installment of this study will focus on what developers and local governments can do to help open the way for middle housing and more of these opportunities.
And I think this last report is really the key to this whole series in terms of what are the next steps.
Well, something for everybody to look forward to. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Peter.
This has been Utah Thrives, the
Utah Foundation podcast. Follow our work at utahfoundation.org.